America Weekend.
You're listening to Smith Sabatino. It's Roland Smith and Carl Sabatino. Carl, many years ago, and you and I have talked about this before on some of our programs, my mother was a teacher for 35 years. And I was once in her fifth grade class in a one-room schoolhouse, and it was K through eighth grade.
Oh, boy.
I was not happy. And my mother realized that, and obviously, after a while, sent me to a different school because she realized, as I already did as a young child, you don't want your mother as your teacher. But I do remember one time when she called on me in class, and she asked me to name two personal pronouns. And as usual, I wasn't paying attention, and I realized the silence, and I looked up, and I said, "Who, me?" And she was so pleased.
You got it right by default. Which leads me to, ladies and gentlemen, the segue, as they call it, education in America. I have been an adjunct professor in a number of systems in the country, and I found it to be quite rewarding. But my question is, what are we teaching our young people? What are they learning? And in today's day and age, it is a daunting question. They are smarter than I can remember our age group being from, let's say, preteen all the way through their 20s. They're sharper. They have a better sense of things. But up to that point, after that, it's like falling off a table. They don't get it. They don't have what they've learned in school. I was watching a program, and this is ABC television now, ladies and gentlemen. And this young lady, it was on about a cheerleader. And her drive in life was to be a cheerleader. And she stated, and I quote, "I'd rather have no school, learn nothing, but be a cheerleader." I blink when I hear that, as you know, Roland, because the only thing that matters to me, as it has for so many years, is learning something more about tomorrow. And we never stop learning until our time on this planet is over. And today, in our educational environment, there is so much that they can learn. They use that computer, which many of them get on, or the handheld. Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful research tool. You can find out almost anything. We did it before we came on the show. We were looking for some information. Very quickly, we ran to our phones, click, 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 did the Google thing, if you will, and we were able to get the information that we were looking for. That's what I believe these things are for, other than talking to some people. But what are they learning? They're getting all of the basic skills, other than the fact that we don't teach history and geography any longer, and I don't understand that. I really don't get that. However, the two topics that give them a place and time, a place being geography, a time being history, whether it be our time or someone else's time, we're not giving them the sense of proportion that they require.
There was a time a number of years ago when I had a secretary. And
secretaries, they were.
a delightful lady.
Yes.
College graduate.
Mm-hmm.
And we got talking about geography one day. And I said, "Do you know where such and such is?" She had no idea.
Not a clue.
So what I would do on Fridays, if she could answer my geography question, I'd let her go home early.
I got to tell you a story, but go.
Well, anyway, at one point I said, "Does the Mississippi River run north and run north or south or east or west?" She didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
So she stayed to her regular time. I said, "Is North Dakota on top of South Dakota or the other way around?"
Mm-hmm.
And she did not know.
She did
not. I mean, it was simple geography questions. There are some that she got right, I was totally surprised. Coming out as I'm going back 20 years now, that somebody, as a college graduate, seems to me you ought to know a little bit about the planet you live on.
Well, I just mentioned in the early opening of the segment about me being an adjunct professor, and I asked the question of all my lectured classes. Who can answer the question, where is Botswana? I'll take the continent. give me some geographic information about where it's located on that continent. Anyone can answer that question, guaranteed an A in this course. Over the years I've been doing it, five people have answered that question correctly. Five.
Botswana.
Botswana. Okay. Remarkable place. The only place you can still walk in this on this planet where a lion in the right spot will walk past you. It's never seen a human being before. And it will literally think, and I read the great, I told you about this great book, The Cry of the Kalahari by William and Delia Owen. Remarkable, Philip Owen, remarkable book, where they literally were urinated on by lions who thought they were a tree.
Well, you can hope that the lion.
You got to hope that, but they did, and they actually happened to be a hand higher. They're skinny and taller. It's a whole different subsection of lions. But the point is, this is a remarkable place, and these most of these classes are on geographical marketing and international marketing. And if you're going to market something around the world, don't you think you should know about a little bit about geography and history? Yet these are some of them are graduate students. And they got these deer in the headlights look. It drives me crazy.
Well, you know, some of the late night talk show hosts used to send people out and ask them these questions. You know, who's president
on the street corner? Yes,
yeah. Who's president of the United States, or who is so and so, et cetera, et cetera. Excuse me, I got a thing in my throat here.
And that we're gonna hold off for a moment while Roland clears the thing.
I'm okay now.
He's back. Okay.
But anyway, again, people just don't know. I mean, and it's not that they're stupid.
They're not.
No, it's a matter of ignorance, not taking the time, or the having the interest to learn.
Why wouldn't you want to know the things that have affected our life on this planet? Why wouldn't you want to know about the wars, World War One, World War Two, the history of other countries that have affected our life, France and so on? I can go on, China, it doesn't matter what it is. Why wouldn't you want to know that? Is it just, I want to get a job on Wall Street, I want to get a job being, I want to be a star, I want to be a music person, I want to be whatever I want to be. Why is it that you can't learn more? Why isn't that you can't absorb more into that magnificent brain, and they're sharper, as I said in the beginning, and smarter than we were by a long stretch, by a long stretch.
Yeah, I used to ask my sons when I came home from school.
What did you learn?
What did you learn today that you didn't know yesterday? And when they're really young, they think a little bit, and they'll come up with something, and you say, oh, that's right. You know. But even to this day, I ask my grandchildren.
Well, I put this down to Americans today. We have to understand what our young people are learning. We must be into their education, not just on the math and the science, which I know we must have today, but on the basis of the things that inform them about the world upon which we live.
Well, you know, Carl, in 1972, a committee of the National Education Association considered the next 100 years of U.S. education. And one of their tasks was to assess the validity of the seven cardinal principles of education that were established in 1918. They concluded, for instance, that the goals were still valid but needed to be modernized. They felt that in today's educational world, ethical character should include development of qualities such as compassion, respect, responsibility, honesty, vulnerability, and the spirit of altruism, as well as looking at the greater good. I found that wonderful.
I could not say that any better. And if we instill that into our children today, regardless of the new age that we are heading for, which is controlled by the digital age, I got that. Nothing's going to change that from happening. But their ability to want to learn more, to have the curiosity to look beyond what they are getting in front of them, that curiosity is so wonderful.
Well, the great educator John Dewey said education is a social process. Education is growth, and education is not preparation for life. Education is life itself.
Thank you. I could not have said it better, because it is life itself. And when you want to learn more in life itself, Roland, you become a better person. And this planet, and one of the things that we've learned, why the certain governments do not want their young, we got back to the woman question again, don't want their young women educated, okay, is because and in general their population, because when they know things, more than what they know today, when they understand that there is more out there in this magnificent planet which we live in, then they are threatened by that knowledge. Knowledge is a very threatening thing if you don't have it.
When I was in high school, most of the women in my high school class had three choices. You could be a parent, get married, raise a family. You could be a nurse, or you could be a teacher. Fortunately, that's changed today.
Remarkably so. And their contributions are duly noted, because the world has opened up and will open up more, hopefully, to them. I've got a little 8-year-old on her way out into the world, and I'm hoping that that world extends its arms to her, because that is what drives us, all parents.
Henry Adams also said, a teacher affects eternity. He or she can never tell where his influence stops, and I agree with that.
Call Sabatino with Roland Smith. We're back.
America Weekend.
Brand like a rock star with Steve Jones. Remember the cover of Led Zeppelin's album Zeppelin 4? There was no name on it, no album title. Just a cool picture that enticed you and made you think. It made you want to put the album on and listen. Led Zeppelin didn't feel like they needed to tell you everything about the album right on the cover. All they wanted to do was entice you and intrigue you. Many businesses use their advertising to try and tell their entire story. Instead of attempting to tell your customer everything about your brand, simply create a little bit of intrigue and mystery, like Led Zeppelin did. Invite your customers to take the next step in their relationship with your business. For more ways to make your business rock, visit brandlikearockstar.com.
Get the IRS off your back with one phone call. Talk to a live professional tax relief agent and stop worrying about your tax problems. That's the wall difference. It's easy.
Call 1-800-719-5564.
Order in the court.
This is Attorney Jay Coleman with The Final Verdict. John and Dave are co-workers, and one day in the parking lot, John backs his car over Dave's bicycle and ruins it. Well, no one disputes the fact that John owes Dave $500 for the bike, but when John presents Dave with an IOU, Dave says it's not acceptable. He wants a promissory note. John says, what's the difference? You have a signed document saying I owe you $500, but Dave won't budge. So, do you know the difference between an IOU and a promissory note? Stay tuned for the final verdict. If Dave needs to take John to court, a promissory note is stronger evidence of John's obligation to pay. An IOU is simply stating the amount owed and a signature. A promissory note contains the wording, I promise to pay, and includes a specific deadline for repayment. And that's the final verdict.